This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
All right, well, good afternoon, everybody. It's not a very big crowd here, but that's okay. This is a session on authority, accountability, and responsibility. Dale Nisley is our speaker. He has been at Believers Fellowship for over 30 years. He told me they went there expecting to be there for, 2 years, something like that, and stayed there for as long as they have. They use this topic as an orientation for their workers at the ministry there. And so, along with that, Daryl longs for people to gain clarity on these topics so they can effectively function in their ministry roles. Also, he longs to see people work together to fulfill the Great Commission. Daryl, why don't you come forward and I'll pray for you and then we'll get started.
I appreciate that.
God, thank you for this afternoon. Mm-hmm. God, I pray for Brother Daryl here as he speaks to us. God, I pray that you be with his voice and give him mm-hmm. ability to speak clearly and be with us as we listen. And God, help us to open our hearts and our ears to what he has to say. Yes. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate your presence and your interest. And although I give this topic almost annually to the people that are new people that are coming in, I'm just here to tell you that I don't have all the answers. I'm still learning. And I'm kind of glad that we've got a small group here because I function best when there's feedback. So I hope that you will feel comfortable in feeding back to me as I share here. So authority, responsibility, and accountability. God has ordained numerous principles of life which we do well to accept and follow. For instance, the principle of gravity. You can say you don't believe in gravity, but try stepping off of the roof. And whether you believe in it or not, you will experience the results of gravity on your person. So I believe it's imperative to have a clear understanding of authority, responsibility, and accountability in order to be a good anything, whether it's a servant, a master, an employee, missionary, pastor, business person, son or daughter. And a failure to function properly with the authorities in our lives will most likely result in a lot of stress and possibly even failure in the task that we attempt to fulfill. So I'd like to go into this session with bringing ideas to you, but I would love to hear your ideas back as well, and I invite that. So let's look first of all at authority, and we ask the question, why authority? What is the purpose? What would you say is the purpose of authority?
Order.
Excellent. To bring order, to maintain order. And I would believe that by virtue of creation, God established himself as the ultimate authority, as the creator. All authority, my understanding, all of authority is ordained by God. Romans 13:1 would tell us that, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So I ask the question, what about bad authorities? Have you ever experienced bad authorities? Are they ordained of God as well? I would choose to believe that God doesn't cause bad authorities, but he may allow bad authorities, and God certainly is sovereign over bad authorities. And you can trust in that and believe in that, even in the bad authorities that you might experience, that God still is sovereign even over them. He may use bad authorities to test or further develop us, and maybe even test our confidence and trust in Him, and allowing Him to work through them is, I think, still operating according to His plan. So I would say that authority is a good plan. Someone suggested that the person in Scripture that gave the name to something or someone is a person who had authority over that person or something or thing. Looking at that in light of the creation, we see in Genesis 3 that God named Adam, so that would put him in direct authority over Adam. Adam named the animals, so that would indicate that he had authority over the animals. Adam named Eve, and the scriptures say that they named their children. Just something for you to think about as a possibility of giving an indication of what God had in mind with authority. I believe that that authority is delegated. And for us to assume authority without having it been delegated is probably going to run us into difficulty. To assume authority where it's not been delegated to us is most likely will cause us difficulty. All will answer to a higher authority because God is the final authority. Just since I'm here, in looking at the Great Commission, in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been, or this is the NIV, the New King James, but all power is what? What did Jesus say? All power is given unto me. Even Jesus didn't assume authority. He understood that it was given to him. And because of that, then he was commissioning, he was giving authority to those who believe in him, who trust him, who are following him, to have the authority that he gave. So Jesus understood authority. He recognized that and understood his relationship to God. John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." I look at that, my meat, we think of steak or chicken or something like that. But I think Jesus was saying that the thing that gives me life and gives me energy is to understand that I'm here on my Father's business. I'm here to do what the Father's will is. He praised a centurion for understanding authority in Luke 7:8. The centurion came to Jesus asking him to heal his son. But he suggested that Jesus could just say the word and it would be done. But the thing that amazed Jesus in his response to the centurion was that the centurion said, "For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." The thing that amazed Jesus was that this man understood that to have authority, he needed to be under authority, and he recognized that Jesus was under authority. The reason that Jesus had authority was because he was under God's authority, and that amazed Jesus. He also, Jesus taught in Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, we may have different levels of authority over us, but basically, and especially in a business, you can function best if you only have one authority, and you'll find a lot of chaos if there are two authorities in your life. Jesus also taught concerning accountability in Matthew 12:36. I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So let's look at Jesus' teaching on authority. He said in Luke 22, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. One of the things that I'm just a little bit nervous about talking about authority is the misuse of authority. You've heard the statement that power corrupts, and all power, absolute power, corrupts absolutely. And I think the issue, the root of that difficulty, goes back to the fall. Because when God created man, he asked him to have dominion over the earth. You understand the difference between having dominion over, and after the fall, man began to dominate. So there's domination, the contrast of domination and dominion. And if we have to be very careful, especially in places of responsibility and authority, that we exercise dominion, which is a careful caring for the things that we're responsible for, in contrast to dominating and controlling and perhaps even abusing those that we're responsible to. You have any questions or comments about that? Would you like to respond to that? Would you like to say something different than that? I'm open to that. But I would welcome your feedback.
You hit on a core reason why I came to this class today.
Okay. Tell me. Talk to me.
I don't know that I can say more than what you said, but this question of that power corrupts.
Mm.
And how do we deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we carry responsibility without in a Christ-like manner and not letting that destroy our relationship with God and our salvation?
Excellent. Well, just diving into that a little bit, I suppose if you've been in business, you've seen flowcharts. You know what I mean when I talk about a flowchart? As I flash this to you, do you feel any discomfort in the way I've drawn this? Where we have, I'm calling this, in relation to a mission organization, I'm talking about the sending group, which was like maybe a church's, a mission board, a director, missionaries, and then the receiving group. You can put any kind of designations in here, but a flowchart like this makes me uncomfortable, because you're looking at top-down authority. It almost just in the mental picture of what I've demonstrated here is that it's coming from the top down. I would much rather think of an organization structurally as links to a chain. And perhaps we're functioning from those in authority, and there's responsibility and authority delegated through the chain. But there's a relationship. And there's a level ground. We come to the cross on a level field or on a level ground. And when you try to, especially we're looking at missions, and especially if you come to a people and try to minister down, I would suggest that you go home. I feel that strongly about it. It demeans the people that we're working with. And it sets us up as the authority and as the superior. And I think it's totally contrary to what God has in mind for missions. This is on a personal note. I was in the North for 10 years as a grassroots missionary, and it was what I felt I was called to. I wanted to be out with the people. And after having served for 10 years, our administrator wanted to leave, and they were looking for a new administrator. And so I was approached to take the job. And like, I didn't really even consider it, because I didn't want to be responsible. I wanted to be out with the people. And it wasn't until a friend of mine, in sharing with him, that he got all excited. He said, "Oh, great, you should take the job." And I said, "Why? Why are you excited? Like, I'm resisting this. This isn't me." He said, "No, if you're on the grassroots, you're out there, you're alone. But if you can get back, if you can step back from the front line and get these 10, 20 other people in front of you, and you can get behind and support them and encourage them and give vision to them, then they multiply you and your vision and what you're doing." And it was the first vision that I caught that I could get excited about. But it was more of an upside down flowchart, where I could get back or get behind and lift up those who are out there on the front line doing the work. It hurt pretty deeply when people talked about, "Oh, so you've gotten a promotion." Because in reality, I felt like I was being demoted from being on the front line to being in administration and being in the office and doing the nuts and bolts kinds of things for the ministry. Somebody has to do that. But to me, the real work was going on out with the people. But I'm still administrator. Go figure. Jesus was saying, don't be as the Gentiles in exercising domination and authority, but use your position, your responsibility, to lovingly care for and serve those that you are called to. Luke 22:26, Jesus said, "But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve." Somebody has suggested that in John 13, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, it says, Jesus knew where he came from and where he was going. And when he had that concept of where he came from and his purpose and where he was going, he could stoop and wash feet. It didn't matter how lowly the task was, he could stoop to serve. That's important for us as believers as well. To know where we come from, know where we're going. You can serve. You can do the dirty work. And it's okay. We get to be under shepherds. We get to seek the good of those under our care. Now, I'm going to give one caution. And this happened to me personally, that one of the men that I was responsible for felt that because I had said that I want to help make the people I'm responsible for successful, that he took responsibility to tell me what to do and how to operate. And he felt like it was okay for him to make demands of me because I was there to make him successful. Just be careful about that a bit, because there are ways that, yes, I was there to help make him successful, but I wasn't there to do his work. And that's what he was asking for. So I make that distinction. So functioning well under authority, as we said before, all are under authority. Satan's lie to Adam and Eve was, be your own authority. Someone suggested that in sin, we declare our independence from God. In salvation, we declare our dependence on God. And I like that. We must learn to submit to a higher authority because no one is his sole authority. I'm going to be just really honest with you. We work with Anabaptist Mennonite people. And I have noticed this, that it can be rather difficult for a self-employed Mennonite man to come to the mission field and to submit to authority over him. The very people who, well, I would say this. You see a lot of an initiative in Mennonite young men. A lot of people have their own businesses. They're self-motivated. It's great. But they tend to struggle with coming under authority. And the very men who struggle the most are quite interested in seeing their wives submit to them. But they struggle to submit to those who are over them. Just understand that as a challenge. I would like to define one or make a distinction between two different kinds of authority. The first is personal authority, and the second is positional authority. Let me explain that just a bit for you. A person who is functioning under personal authority sees authority as a right to rule. It's his personal right to rule. And it's often displayed when a person becomes upset when those who he's responsible for fail to submit to him. Now, I haven't ever seen this happen, but I've heard stories of a policeman catches a speeder going down the road, pulls him off, he comes up and angrily asks, "What are you doing speeding on my highway?" "Excuse me? Whose highway?" It's not the policeman's highway. He has a responsibility there, but it's not his highway. For you fathers here, have you ever become upset with your children when they didn't listen to you? Why? I mean, you're bigger than they are, you can make them listen. But we become upset when we don't understand our position. Positional authority is again illustrated by the centurion. I have authority because I'm under authority. When I was a young boy, I was in grade 7, I remember distinctly, and I'm still rather embarrassed about how I acted. My favorite teacher, 7th grade, and I got into this groove, this rut, with my peers of making snide, derogatory comments about my teacher. And it got some laughs, and so it was fun, and I kept on doing it. And my teacher, who I admire a lot yet today, he didn't rebuke me in front of the class, which he could have. It would have been okay. I think it would have been okay to. But he pulled me aside, and he said, "You know, Daryl, as a person, it's okay for you to say those things about me. But I have a position to fill. And for you to disrespect the position by calling me those names and by saying those things about me, I have to ask you to stop." And I was terribly embarrassed and grieved. But how impactful it was to me to understand, here was a man who, it wasn't personal authority, it was his position that he was asking me to respect and to give honor to. Does that make sense to you? Do you have any questions about that kind of thing? The positional versus the personal. If I could just illustrate that with this, and I'm not a great artist, but I'll draw this out for you. I have a board. I serve under a board of five men. And I'm the administrative director. And there are a number of missionaries under me. Under me, look at the term I use. I would correct myself to say that I'm responsible for a number of missionaries. We have a policy that gives us direction in how to function. Now, if I would take personal authority, it would be my job to get these people to do what I want them to do. Understand? But when I have positional authority, I understand my position. I have authority because I've been given authority. There's a policy that this group of men has chosen for us. And so my job is to get these people to follow the wishes of these people. Does that make sense? I have authority because I'm under authority. And so if there's a problem out here, I don't have to get upset about that. I'm not getting these people to obey me. I will look for ways to help these people fulfill what these people want to have done. And it sets me free. Now, I still have a responsibility, but it takes a huge weight off of me to understand that these people aren't disrespecting me, but they need to be following what these people want to have happen. It puts a great responsibility on me to know what these people are thinking and wanting these people to do. What does that call for? It calls for connection, for communication, and understanding. That's going to be key in functioning well under authority. Any comments or questions about that? Does this kind of thing make sense? Does it resonate with you? Okay, go ahead.
So, question, if we were to take away the board and think about your position, or consider the chairman of the board, how does what you just said relate to that individual?
Okay. I'm not sure that I know where you're going, but let me try. All right, and if I don't address it right, let's keep working on it. To take this away totally puts me as the ultimate authority. There's no way that I don't see anyone operating as the ultimate authority anywhere. I guess if you were in business, you were the business owner, maybe there would be as much of that as it would ever happen. Still, you're under God, and there are rules that you follow there. So I'm not sure how that could ever happen in a mission setting, I guess is what I'm saying. If you have other ideas, I wish you'd bring it out. That actually enters into the next thing that I'd like to bring out to you. And because I have been administrator for a number of years, I've actually outlived our whole board several times over. And sometimes I feel like I need to maybe train some of the board members. Each year, there are two of the board that come to Northwestern Ontario to visit all the mission stations and missionaries there. And someone has told me that I'm crazy to allow them to go out here without going with them. He said, you're just setting yourself up for trouble. But so far it's worked. And a lot of that is because, you know, it would be pretty easy if there's a if there's an issue here, that these people would easily more easily go here to address the issue than coming to me to address it. And I'm hoping that I can continue to be open enough with these people here that they would first of all come to me if they have an issue, even with me, or whatever the problem might be. But life isn't ideal, and so that can happen. And I say this, for myself, when these five men are together and they give a directive, they are my authorities. One person or two people alone or not. They can give me ideas as people, concepts, we can have discussions, we can talk about all kinds of things, but when it comes to a directive, they have to be together. They have to give the directive. Then they become my authorities. And it will never work, and it has happened, that this delegation has come out to individuals on the field, and missionaries have asked the delegation, well, what about, could we do this and this? And the delegation says, yeah, go ahead. Only to discover that they had talked to the administrator had said no, and it was contrary to the policy, which the board members didn't know. And can you understand the kind of conflict that comes through that? So if there's an issue that needs to go through here, it needs to flow through the proper channels. There's got to be that communication there. To bypass it, to bypass the administrator in that kind of a situation is like cutting his feet out from under him. If you do that, you don't need an administrator. Let the board do the work. There's got to be a lot of trust and confidence there. And let's say there is an issue that is happening between here, and there isn't good resolution, then there should be the opportunity for these people to speak to the board, but then the board as a group needs to work it out together. And there needs to be communication. Does that make sense? Does it address your question or your issue?
I guess my question then, think about it from a business aspect. If there is someone who is a sole proprietor, mm-hmm. he doesn't have that board. And does that create challenges for him that wouldn't be there if he had a governing body to give him the position that you have?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It just came to me while you were talking. I've had some situations where it seems like this would have been really healthy to have, and it wasn't there.
It wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you would do that with a sole proprietor. I mean, I can see what you're saying, that it would be advantageous, but I'm not sure what you would set up to make that happen realistically. Yeah.
Well, that's not the focus of the topic.
Good stuff. So one of the things that I have a great responsibility for is to seek to understand these men and what their desires are. That's one of my biggest responsibilities, is to understand the board. In an organization like we have, there's no way you can have a policy to fit every issue that comes. I mean, you'd have a policy manual like that, and then you'd still have something come up that you wouldn't have a policy for. So there's a general policy, and then when there's something that comes to me, I look back to say, okay, see, how has the board addressed that in the past? What is their wish? What is their desire? And to just seek to discharge it according to that. If I have a problem with that, I can still come back to here and say, what do you think? Can you help me come to an answer with this particular issue? seek to understand the responsibility assigned. Blurred lines of responsibility are a recipe for disaster. And as much as you can clarify the lines of responsibility, the better off you will be. Obviously, there are a lot of tasks where maybe there's a task assigned and the lines of responsibility are not, it's hard to define. And you just have to be very careful in functioning in that kind of way to stay within your lines of responsibility. For me, one of the greatest ways of coming to freedom on this is to understand jurisdiction. Okay, let's say, for instance, that when I come into this room, the person who is basically in charge here is Brother Verlin, there in the back. But if I would come into the next, if I would go into the next room and they're in session already, and I'd come in and say, "Hey guys, hold off, stop everything, let's have everyone turn their chairs around and face this way." People look at me like I had horns. Why? I mean, because it was kind of idiotic, the request. But I have no jurisdiction to walk into that room and make a request like that. I don't have jurisdiction over that meeting that's going on next door. If you can understand lines of responsibility and areas of jurisdiction, like if there's an issue that comes up, first thing you think, who has jurisdiction? And then address that. And perhaps there's an issue with not understanding lines of responsibility, and there needs to be that needs to be clarified. But jurisdiction is huge in understanding how to make authority work. Think in the U.S. I mean, there's the constant maybe blurring of distinction between state jurisdiction and federal jurisdiction. And they have to keep working on that to clarify which belongs to the state and what's a federal issue. Well, that works in organizations as well. But clarify, find out who has jurisdiction, who has been given that jurisdiction, and then that's the person that you deal with. And in an organization, it like I said, it can be easy to blur that. And if someone's infringing on the jurisdiction, it can cause a huge disruption that needs to be dealt with to make things work smoothly again. Any questions about that? Or comments? In order to do that, one of the best things that you can do is develop job descriptions. I'm thinking especially if you're in an organization. What are the job descriptions? And if you have a facility that I'm thinking of something like Northern Youth Programs where they have a camp. The groundspeople have no business coming into the kitchen to run the cook's job or to do the cook's job or to tell the cook how to operate and vice versa. You've got responsibilities, you've got jurisdictions, and you keep those clear as much as you can. Get a job description. And if there's a question, then clarify that with the person who is delegating the responsibility. I think it's important then in those job descriptions and when authority has been delegated that parameters are established. And within the parameters, within these parameters, you are free to be creative, to operate with creativity within the parameters. And you have to establish that ahead of time. Let's say that here at Faith Builders, or here in this reach time, someone was given the responsibility to figure out meals. You take care of that. That's your responsibility to figure out what to do for lunch. And the person that has been given that responsibility would go out and find a catering company to serve T-bone steak to everyone. You'd say, whoa. Well, were there parameters established? Was there a budget set? And if there hadn't been, that person wouldn't necessarily be out of their jurisdiction, right? But if there are parameters set, that needs to happen ahead of time. And then the person needs to be free to operate within those parameters. And then, of course, the next issue, and we have to go there very quickly, is the whole issue of accountability. In an organization, especially where responsibility has been given, there's an accompanying accountability. There must be. Obviously, if responsibility has been given, the person who is giving the responsibility is not able to perform the task needed, or he'd do it himself. But because he needs someone else to do that, he assigns or delegates the responsibility. But he's not just telling that person, you're free to do whatever. And he's going to be interested in hearing back. How's it going? What did you do? How did you fulfill the responsibility that was given to you? And in a lot of ways, I've found it's really, really difficult to for the person in responsibility to demand accountability. I mean, we can request it. We can come and make requests for being accountable. But it's so freeing for a person to understand that the more transparent I can be, the more clear and the more information I can give to the person that is in charge of me, the more I develop trust. The more that person trusts me, because I guess what I'm trying to say is that one of the biggest ways to create distrust is when you're expecting a job to be done and something happens that maybe didn't go according to plan and it's covered over and no account is given, and then the person in charge, the one that gave the responsibility, finds out after the fact that all the details weren't given. It just creates a lot of distrust. And it's far better to explain, we had a problem. Things didn't go according to plan, but this is what happened. And the person in responsibility, the person in authority, will have a lot better sense of feeling toward you if you've been clear and haven't tried to hide what was going on. We need to wrap this up really quickly. What do you think about that? Is there anything that you'd like to contribute back, or questions you'd like to ask about the whole accountability?
I really like the aspect of having our positions clear. I think that's a real biblical term. It resonates with me. You know, I have two children, and they're young, and I'm trying to learn how to train them, you know. And just knowing my position, I don't have to demand obedience. God has given that to me. You know, mm-hmm. it's their security. Mm-hmm. I really like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Very good. Any other comments or questions?
When it comes to the thing of accountability,
yes.
Would you suggest that it be somebody within the same organization that you're part of, or like as far as how you're doing your job, something like that? Would you suggest, like, as the administrator, do you ask one of the board members to do it? Do you ask somebody who's on the field? Like, where do you look for
accountability
to come from?
I think your accountability has to go directly back to the person you're directly responsible to. That's my top of the off the top of my head response to that. Because they're responsible for you. They've delegated responsibilities, so you've got to feed back to them. Yeah. I would be happy to discuss further with you, but our time is up. No one can be a good leader without first becoming a good follower. Until you're properly under authority, you really have no business being in authority. And I believe humility is one of the greatest assets to being an authority. And so as you come into areas of responsibility, I would encourage you to develop a servant's heart and to lead well as you serve the Master. Thank you so much for your attention.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.